Coming up on this episode of the Star Wars Report, it's the annual Star Wars Fanworks Audio Awards. We've got some really, really great people that we're going to highlight in this episode. Also, James Lucino has been in his Facebook chat this week giving us some new details. New Super Bowl ads, the passing of a great Clone Wars voice actor, and of course, the live-action series having time travel. I'm confused. I'm really confused. Let's get this.
Oh, climb in the DeLorean, Marty. Let's go.
Let's do this. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Star Wars Report. This is our 33rd or 32nd? I always have to confirm with you, Bethany.
This is
32nd. Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so, so excited to be with you tonight as we continue the Star Wars Report saga, our story, our Star Wars journey. And thank you guys so much for tuning in live on Ustream. We're doing it this week. We've got a little bit of video for you guys, which is exciting. And also, we've got, as I teased in the beginning of the show, we've got all kinds of awesome content coming your way on this episode, not the least of which the annual Fan Audio Awards from StarWarsFanWorks.com. We're super honored to have that. But before we get there, I'd like to introduce you. I'm Riley Blanton, one of three awesome co-hosts, and also my sister Bethany. How are you doing tonight?
Greetings all and welcome. I'm doing well, and I hope the same is true of all of you.
Me too.
And I totally didn't mean that to rhyme. But I wind up doing it all the time.
Okay. And also, our third co-host, Mr. Mark Herleman, the defender of the EU himself. Welcome to the show.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Me and Whistler just chilling out, you know, doing the same old, same old.
Now, you had...
He's excited. I'm excited. It's an award show.
Absolutely. And, you know, Mark, you had some trouble last week. And let me just, on air, congratulate you for keeping your head on your shoulders, for staying sane. The 15 minutes before the show started last week, a virus attacked your computer.
And then your earbuds broke.
And then your earbuds broke.
Yes.
And
it was a unfortunate string of events, or however that book is called.
A series of unfortunate events. Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. But this is I think this show is going to be the yin to the yang. It's going to be the series of fortunate events. And let's go ahead and get some fortunate events started by bringing in one of my favorite guys in the entire Star Wars fan community, and especially the Star Wars fan audio community. We always enjoy having him on the show. Welcome to the show. Current co-host of Star Wars Beyond the Films, and of course, Grand Poobah of StarWarsFanWorks.com, Nathan Butler. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Always better to be the Poobah than the Poodoo.
Exactly. Although, 1 week from tonight, as we're counting down the clock, we'll be seeing it in theaters. Weesa going home. George Lucas. That's the combination of George Lucas and Jar Jar. That's the enemy of everyone's nightmare. Nathan, now we have you on right at the beginning of the show. We're going to do the annual StarWarsFanWorks.com Fan Audio Awards. Now tell us a little bit about the background for people who aren't familiar with these, who you are, what Star Wars FanWorks is, and what these awards are each year.
Okay, well, I am Nathan P. Butler. I'm active in the fan audio community. Have been for about 10 years now. We're actually approaching my 10th anniversary in it. And wow. A little while after I started Chrono Radio, which was my first podcast, that was just around the time that we saw fan audio slowly starting to grow. It was mostly growing out of the fan film community, either podcast to promote other projects like fan films such as The Formula with Digital Ama Radio. We had some live shows that were out there streaming, like Jedi Talk had been out there. Star Wars On Direct was out there in French. But at that point, there was a sort of a shift happening in late 2002, early 2003 that saw fan audio really sort of breaking away into its own right. And the decision was finally made on my part to basically say, okay, I've got all these different projects that I'm doing that's audio-wise. I see other people getting into it, but there's really not a home for this in any way. No way for those who are really enthusiastic about this whole new genre to actually find them all in one place. So I decided to take sort of the ideas of the two big fan film sites at the time, fanfilms.com and the Star Wars Fan Film Database, and sort of mesh the two together to create a site called StarWarsFanWorks.com. It would highlight news the way fanfilms.com was, but also be a directory to the genre for pretty much anybody who wanted to be connected with FanWorks so they could find other projects, sort of like the Star Wars Fan Film Database did. So since September of 2003, it's been the home of Star Wars Fan Audio. If you're looking for other Star Wars podcasts, audio dramas, audio parodies.
Well, Nathan, and I still remember first discovering your site. And I knew of three or four Star Wars podcasts, and I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. We have all these podcasts in the community. And then I discovered your site, and I was like, good grief. They're everywhere to cover every single sub-category of the fan community.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've seen it grow quite a bit. When I started FanWorks, there was basically, I want to say, probably about five or six podcasts out there. The term podcasting didn't exist. There was no such thing as an RSS feed at that point. It was just, you know, you did an MP3 and just stuck it online and you pointed people to the download link pretty much. Yeah. It's grown quite a bit since then. But when I started, there weren't any serious Star Wars fan audio dramas out there. My team and I put out the first one online, Second Strike, and it was the first time anybody tried to do a one-host Star Wars podcast with Chrono Radio. I mean, it was very much a, you know, you turn around and somebody else is breaking into something new because there just wasn't much there. But we initially, very early on, started to think that, you know, it'd be nice if this community that was, especially when it was just starting out, would have a chance to recognize success amongst the community as a way of sort of bolstering spirits, keeping things going, and just promoting that community atmosphere in a big way. So starting with 2004, we had the beginnings of the Star Wars FanWorks Fan Audio Awards. And the idea was that any project that was released in the previous calendar year, so in this case it'll be 2011, you'd be part of the eligibility lists, and people would come in, vote for their favorites, and depending on the year, we've had different categories. We always try to recognize those that have really stood out in the genre each year. And it's the community making the decision. It's not something with big get-out-the-vote campaigns where it's just flood the email box.
Yeah.
It's not something where there's the online polls that can be just flooded and such, like, say, on Facebook and whatnot. I mean, we try to make sure it really is the community getting a chance to voice this. And whether this is the last year for these or not, we don't know. It may be, because the nature of the website and social media and stuff is changing so much. It may take a different form in future years.
Yeah.
We're back. So ready for yet another series of these awards. There's only been 1 year we haven't had the regular awards. There are no audio drama or audio parody awards this year because there weren't any of those.
Wow.
Released in 2011. It's all podcasts all the time for Star Wars Fan Audio for the last year.
Yeah, and the medium has definitely exploded in a way, even in 2011, that I would have thought impossible, even though I was only around in 2010 before that. It just blows my mind to see so many great Star Wars fan shows. I mean, mm-hmm. If you just look at the list on Star Wars FanWorks in the radio shows section, they're countless, and then so many that have started but unfortunately have died off, and then there are so many that have been going for forever with long traditions like Star Wars Action News and like Republic Forces that you're on, all these shows that, you know, I feel proud that we've done, you know, 32 episodes, and you have Star Wars Action News, it literally has hundreds, and I don't mean to just single them out. There are all these shows that have been doing this for such a long time, and all these passionate Star Wars fans who just want their voice heard, and it's such a neat community, and that's why I love Star Wars FanWorks as a resource to not just find all these different shows, but also have a community of people who enjoy doing this stuff together.
Well, and it's really neat to see so many people enjoying the Star Wars fan community. I mean, we've had so many people we know start up podcasts, and Brian and Nancy of EU Cantina and Roku Depot started a show that's on Solo Sound, and we met them at Dragon Con and mm-hmm. had a lot of fun there. But it's so cool to see so many people. It's going to become a problem. It'll be like all our friends are podcasting.
Yeah.
And we'll have to try to find time to fit them all in.
Yeah.
But it's a nice
problem. But it's a good problem to have. It's
exactly.
A good problem to have.
Yeah.
Some Battlestar Galactica panels. Oh man, oh, we'll reminisce about that.
Start a Battlestar podcast.
Oh no, not now. But back to the Star Wars Fan Audio Awards. Well, without further ado, Nathan, I'll go ahead and let you begin introducing this year's winners.
All right, great. Well, we have 5 regular categories this year, and then there's always a Lifetime Achievement Award ever since that sort of came out of nowhere a few years back. So we start out with one of the most hotly contested of the awards, which is Best Star Wars-Based Radio Show. There are 2 types, Star Wars-Based and Community-Based, which is essentially Star Wars and more, but based out of the FanWorks community. The bread and butter of Star Wars Fan Audio is the podcast. As such, it's no surprise that the Best Star Wars-Based Radio Show contest boasts some of the largest pools of choices we have ever seen in these awards. From their inception, the award's inception in 2004 up through 2007, Chrono Radio took the award 4 years running. When the awards resumed, in 2009 after the oddball year in 2008 where we had essentially special achievement awards, the award again became a sort of dynasty in fan audio with Star Wars Action News, mm-hmm. walking away with the title in 2009, 2010, and last year in 2011. With Chrono Radio host Nathan P. Butler, yours truly, if you'll pardon the third person here, in consideration this year for the EU review with Andrew Loopy and Kelly Adams, and Star Wars Action News back again, the chance for a continuation of either dynasty is in the air this year. Will the best Star Wars radio show title go to either of these or a newcomer to this award? The nominees are...
And this is where I realized I should have a drum roll. The nominees are... Go for it.
Boring Conversation Anyway, The Bothan Report, The Cantina Cast, Corellian Run Radio, Dark Empire Radio, The EU Cast, The EU Review, Fanboy's Guide to the Galaxy, 501st Legion's Official Podcast, The 501st Cast, The Force Book Podcast, Galactic Holofeed, Imperial Holonet Radio, Mandoad, I always say this wrong, or Keldabe Talk Radio, The Mandalorian Mercs Podcast, My Own Private Alderaan, Order 66 Podcast, Republic Forces Radio Network, Saber Chats, The Sarlacc Pit, Star Wars Action News, Star Wars Book Report, The Star Wars Expanded Universe Primer, Star Wars Galaxies with Yivitz and Mr. Bubble, Star Wars in Character, Star Wars Miniverse, The Star Wars Report, The Star Wars Talk Show, This Week in Star Wars, The Unknown Regions, Voice of the Republic, and We Talk Clones.
Whew. Wow.
A very hotly contested category. Wow. And the winner this year is
a tie.
Riley, we have a tie. Who is it?
Between Republic Forces Radio Network and Star Wars Action News. Congratulations, guys. Let's take a listen to their response.
Wait a minute. We tied? Oh, come on. How could we have tied? There's no way that could be. I mean, I want to know what lousy wannabe podcast anyone would think would tie with us. That's an outrage.
Jerry, it was Swan. Be nice.
Hey, how nice. That's so nice to share the stage with Star Wars Action News and this wonderful honor. Thank you.
Yeah, so says the substitute host of Star Wars Action News.
Oh, man, am I red-faced.
It is an honor, though, to share it with Star Wars Action News. And it is an honor after, you know, hosting the awards last year to get to see our names announced. That's pretty darn cool. I ain't going to lie to you there, kids. And it's been a great year with just the end of Season 3 and the startup of Season 4 have been great. Our summer programming was so much fun doing the micro series and seeing everybody's response. I would not have believed that many other folks would get excited about the micro series. I just kind of picked that because I wanted to do it. Yeah, I was selfish. I'll admit it. But lo and behold, there were so many folks that really got excited about that. It was great. And then we jumped in with this season fairly strong. So it's been a lot of fun, and I can't wait to keep trying to make the fans happy.
Yeah, I mean, the entire journey of Republic Forces Radio Network's been a lot of fun. And, you know, after the second season, we started the summer programming, which has been a big hit. And I've just enjoyed the opportunities to work with, with Dan, obviously, Jen and Barrett, Nathan, Jonathan, Arnie, of course, everyone who's contributed in the shows. And it's just always been fun, and I cannot wait for 2012 for all of us to get back together for Celebration 6, maybe do some live shows, because obviously there'll probably be a lot of Clone Wars Season 5 information that we can gnaw on, just like we did C5 for Season 3. So I think, you know, still many great times ahead, and we appreciate the honor.
Yeah, I think, Dan and Jerry, you're completely right, and it is great that Republic Forces Radio Network, a Star Wars Action News podcast, gets to share the award with Star Wars Action News, the primary show, which I just can't believe 4 years in a row we are voted the best show by the Star Wars FanWorks community.
That's just amazing. 4 years in a row. That is humbling.
And I want to thank everyone. You know, every person involved in Republic Forces Radio Network has also been involved in Star Wars Action News. And I think that the reason why 4 years going, people still think so highly of us is because of the hardworking staff. We've got Barrett, who puts as many hours every week into enhancing the show as we do into recording and editing it. We've got Jay, who edits our photos every week, Jason doing the website, Jerry and Dan both doing store reports, co-hosting for us, Jerry doing the vintage reports, Justin doing store reports. He started off this past year and really brought a lot of life to that segment. Steve giving us a global perspective and going to all of the conventions over there. Brock with all of the book reports and being able to set up all those interviews with all the authors. I know people really like the interviews we do on the show, and Brock is a huge part of that. Nathan with his Expanding the Universe segments, and Jen and Abid for helping to cover New York Comic Con. We covered so many cons in the past few years that without every single person pitching in, it wouldn't have been possible. Chris coming up with all those great badges we do every con. You know, Star Wars Action News is more than a show. It's become almost like a traveling road show where we have all these badges and the breakfast at San Diego. And, you know, the listeners keep it fun and the staff keep it going. So thank you to everyone.
I just want to thank everyone. And, you know, ditto what Arnie said. However, I just really can't stress enough how this has given me some really fun, interesting, bizarre life experiences that I never would have had without any of this. And a lot of it is our staff. I have some great memories with all of them due to this show. I mean, who gets drunk and does scrapbooking in the middle of the afternoon at a Star Wars celebration? Or how about the very bizarre interaction with a waitress in San Diego with Barrett because he ordered a steak at a dive diner?
Or the time Dan wore women's clothing.
Hey, don't pick on Dan. I think we can officially retire the fact that Dan wore my shirt. We can just let it go. His pecs looked awesome, and we're just going to leave it at that. Don't beat the poor guy up anymore. But just, like, fun stuff. Or waiting for the Master Replica's bus that never came to take us to Jim Henson Studios because I saw the Muppet movie, and you know what? I'm like, oh my god, we were there. We ate barbecue right there. And it was fun. Just fun stuff like that. All the inside jokes. And I've got a lot of them with people who listen to the show. Some of those people have become our friends, and they've been to our house, and we hang out with them, and I know their families, and they know us. And it's so much fun. I just can't stress how wonderful this is, and thank you, everyone.
And looking forward to so much more at Celebration 6.
All right. A hearty congratulations to the whole staff over at Star Wars Action News. And it's true. They are an amazing team of people, and I really hopefully will have the pleasure and honor of interacting them with them some at Celebration. But that was... It's a great peek into some really hardworking people who go to great lengths to produce an outstanding podcast. Just an outstanding job.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can't say it any better than that.
Definitely. Mr. Butler, would you mind introducing the next winner?
Certainly. Next up, we have the Star Wars FanWorks community-based show. Best Star Wars FanWorks community-based show or Best Star Wars and More show. A Best Radio Show category has existed ever since the awards began in 2004, but it only existed as a single award for the first 2 years. Starting in 2006, the award was split into two types. Best Star Wars-based radio show for podcasts devoted entirely or almost entirely to Star Wars, as you just heard, and Best FanWorks community-based show for podcasts that are dedicated to Star Wars and more that were produced within the StarWarsFanWorks.com community. This year, the number of community-based shows shrank, while the number of Star Wars shows steadily grew. In the past, the Best FanWorks Community-Based Show Award has been won, through individual shows or in ties, by Fan Audio Made Easy, Requiem of the Outcast, Ronnie's Own Radio, The Butlerniverse, and TashiCast. With Oblivion Continuum, which boasts the host of the TashiCast as one of its own hosts, in the running this year, it is possible that we may see a two-year run for Oblivion Continuum and TashiCast host Joe Harrison this year. The nominees for this category were... And there are only two for this one. Oblivion Continuum and Two True Freaks. And the winner was Riley.
Oblivion Continuum. Let's get a look at their response.
wow, this is fantastic news. It looks like all that hard work we did in putting episodes out regularly throughout the year finally paid off.
Yeah, we really did a good job with that. But no, seriously, this is really an awesome honor to be able to get this award. It's a really awesome thing. I'm pumped about it.
Now, of course, for Joe, this just goes on to his gigantic stack of Fan Audio Academy Awards that he has piled up in his corner. Yeah. But for Sarah and I, this is our first podcasting-based
award. That's right.
It means that unlike the others where we could assume, well, it's just because we had talented people working for us or you liked our mixing, this means there's actually something about us that you like. And I'm not going to pull out the "you really, really like us" cliche, except I just did, but that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. We're really glad that you guys enjoyed the show. And this is definitely the motivation we needed to really get back on track with the show. So,
oh yeah. Like they've never heard that.
Hey, we've done better with this than women with anyone else we've done, I think. Mm. With track record.
Well, now that we know that, you know, we're a community favorite, we'll try and do even better.
Yes, we will. We give you our vow, right, Sarah?
Right, Joe.
Our word is worthless.
Yes. So thank you again very much, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Congratulations, guys. And definitely keep producing those podcasts. Big hearty congratulations goes out to the guys and gal from Oblivion Continuum. And I think we're ready for our next category, Nathan.
All right. Next up, we have Best Solo Radio Show Host. This category has been around since the beginning of the awards back in 2004. The inaugural winner, say that three times fast, was Christopher Hanel of Digitalama 2.0. From then onward, if you'll pardon some third person here, this award has been swept each year by Nathan P. Butler for projects ranging from Chrono Radio to the Star Wars Expanded Universe Primer. If Butler wins in 2012 for the Star Wars EU Primer, in its third year, it'll be Butler's seventh award in this category. And the winner I'm getting all confused. I got too many pieces of paper in front of me. Right, and the nominees this time were, we had five. We had Nathan P. Butler for the Star Wars Expanded Universe Primer, Jesse Colbert for the Star Wars Book Report, Matthew Fox for This Week in Star Wars, Harrison Scalf for My Own Private Alderaan, and Kyle Winner for the Star Wars Talk Show. And the winner this time around was Riley.
Nathan Butler. Never heard of him. Never heard of him. It's Nathan P. Butler. Congratulations, sir. Wow, and let's get a listen to his response.
Well,
that's your
I'm
cue.
Live
you're live,
so,
sir. You are live now.
I wanted a canned response.
I can pretend that I'm not here. This is great. I'm excited. I mean, it's great to see that little podcast really still getting some traction. If you don't know, the way that these awards tend to work is it's based on. If it's a solo host award, it's got to be based on the shows that are only done by that one person as opposed to by a team. And I've worked with some great teams these last couple of years, but that little tiny side project, the Star Wars EU Primer, the thing that's meant to essentially bring people up to speed on the EU if you don't know where to start or if you haven't read everything, it's sort of a history lesson in a sense on Star Wars. It's really cool to see that get traction. I'm starting to see that move into things with my professional podcasting, the school where I teach. Or the county where I teach is having me do history-based podcasts and economics-based podcasts for their classes to bring people up to speed on those types of things. So it's cool that something that started there and has grown so much in my educational career is something that seems like people are still enjoying out there. So hopefully it'll be helpful to everyone out there in the future. Thank you very much.
Yeah, definitely. Congratulations, Nathan. And we've got two more categories. Let's hear them.
That's right. Two more, and then our lifetime. This time around, we have Best Panel of Radio Show Hosts. This category came into existence in the 2006 awards, when the radio show categories broadened to recognize both individual hosts and outstanding groupings of hosts who interact as a, quote, panel. In its first year, this award was won by Requiem of the Outcast. In 2007, Star Wars Action News took this crown, followed by Anomaly in 2009. There wasn't one in 2008. Then there was a tie for both Star Wars Action News and Anomaly in 2010. In 2011, the title moved to Solo Sounds We Talk Clones. Will this year produce a return of the crown to Star Wars Action News, perhaps the title being retained by We Talk Clones, or will perhaps a new team emerge with the title of Best Panel? The nominees in this category are Boring Conversation Anyway, The Bothan Report, The Cantina Cast, Corellian Run Radio, Dark Empire Radio, The EU Cast, The EU Review, Fanboy's Guide to the Galaxy, 501st Cast, The Force Book Podcast, Galactic Holofeed, Mando Ad, or Keldave Talk Radio, Oblivion Continuum, Order 66 Podcast, Republic Forces Radio Network, Saber Chats, The Sarlacc Pit, Simple Tricks and Nonsense, Star Wars Action News, Star Wars Galaxies with Yivitz and Mr. Bubble, Star Wars in Character, Star Wars Miniverse, The Star Wars Report, Two True Freaks, The Unknown Regions, Voice of the Republic, and We Talk Clones. And the winner in this category was... Riley?
It was Republic Forces Radio Network. Let's get a listen to their response.
Well, thank you, guys. What a great honor to be nominated, but to have recognition that we are the best Star Wars panel out there. I mean, just really goes to say that all the hard work that we do every week that goes into putting in the show is just being recognized by the listeners and by the fans. And it's just a great feeling. Don't you guys agree?
Barron's right on this one. I think part of the strength of it is that this panel is pretty diverse. You've got collectors, non-collectors. You've got different ages. You've got some who are parents, some who are not. Some who got into Star Wars early, some who got into it later. We've got people versed in the EU or not, male and female perspectives. I mean, it's a very diverse group. Jen, you're sort of our resident female on the panel. You always add a little bit of different perspective to us. What do you think about the overall panel and what makes it work?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's we're really diverse and we have a lot of different opinions and different backgrounds. And so we can get a whole range of reactions to each of the shows. And I feel like that really brings a lot to each of the episodes. Even though we have like an alternating group of panelists, we get to have some different perspectives between different arcs. And I think that makes it a lot more interesting. And we work really well together. So I think it makes for a pretty good show. And it's really cool to see that we're getting recognized for it.
Yeah, I mean, guys, the one thing I would say, I joked about this on the show one time, but, you know, it is like getting together with a bunch of your friends and just hanging out and talking about Star Wars. I mean, yes, we're recorded. We're putting it out on the internet for everyone else to kind of join in the fun. We appreciate that everybody does that. But it's just, I mean, it's just a lot of fun to get together. And I've enjoyed the opportunity. I mean, several of us have been part of this since season one, like myself and Arnie, Nathan, a few others. And this is just, it's been a great journey to see how the show's changed so much. And I really feel like that some of the extra efforts we put into the show, like the Droids Summer series and this past summer we did the Clone Wars micro series. And it's just, you know, that's certainly a labor of love and something we just want to get together more often and talk about more things and not take all the time off. So there's a great chemistry here and a great team. And, you know, even just here as recently, we've added Jonathan to the ranks.
Well, and as the newbie, I really have to say how much I enjoy being part of the group. And I look forward to recording because I get to discuss this with other Star Wars fans. And it's kind of like having a discussion and, oh, it just happens to be posted for people to listen to. But it's been tremendous fun, and I'm glad that I'm going to be on more shows coming up.
And I'd just like to say that I want to really credit Jerry and Dan, our fearless leaders these past few seasons, because the show really has evolved and become more streamlined with its summer content, as Jerry talked about, and going from our original live format to now our live on tape format and the incorporation of the voicemails. More than any other podcast I've ever worked on, this show has really been a living thing that keeps evolving as we rotate the cast. And I think that that's really due to the leadership of the show that each episode Jerry and Dan bring.
Like all you guys said, it's been great being able to get together and talk with people that, even though we have some pretty different opinions on things sometimes, hey, we still have a good, enjoyable conversation. In the end, we put out a fun show that I've really been able to see listeners get behind and enjoy and comment how much they enjoy things. And, you know, some things that they don't enjoy, like the singing segments. But, you know, it's been a lot of fun and it's been great to be a part of it. And I would like to point out that all it took was an award show to get Nathan and Barron to agree on something.
You had to go there with the singing, didn't you?
Wow, congratulations, guys. And yeah, I'll just comment further. It's always interesting with these with the award shows. There are so many great audio shows, but you can't listen to all of them, and that's why it's so important, you know, when there's an opportunity to email your votes in as a member of the Star Wars fan audio community. And as someone who does listen to Republic Forces Radio Network, you guys do an outstanding job covering each episode of The Clone Wars with a great in-depth and diverse conversation. It's unlike any other Clone Wars show in the diverse ways that you guys look at each episode, and you can disagree and still have a great conversation and not get too mad at each other, unless you sing, Nathan, then that's of course unforgivable.
This is true. This is why I really shouldn't be looking at iTunes reviews ever again. The singing and the continuity are the two things that drive them crazy.
Turn a blind eye. You guys got appreciation from the fan audio community, and that's what counts.
Amen. Amen.
All right, and we have one more very special award. Would you mind introducing this one, Nathan?
Sure thing. All right, before we get to the Lifetime Achievement Award, which is not a voted on award, but essentially a bestowed award, we have one more that the community voted on here. Rookie of the Year.
Oh, okay.
Right. The Rookie of the Year Award is unique in that by its very nature, it cannot be won by the same project more than once. The same creative teams might find themselves winning more than once with new podcasts that they produce, but more often than not, this award varies widely year to year. It began in 2006 with a tie between Star Wars in the Beginning and Roni's Own Radio. 2007 saw the award go to the Star Wars Action News Book Club podcast. 2009's award went to Anomaly, followed by a tie between the Unknown Regions and the Star Wars Expanded Universe Primer in 2010. And the Bothan Report took away the title last year. With some established players in the genre launching new shows this past year, could a returning team with a new show win the title this time, or will it be someone new to the field entirely? Moreover, can the Star Wars Report make history by having the new incarnation of the team's podcast win Rookie of the Year after having won last year with their previous show, The Bothan Report? The nominees this time included six brand new 2011 podcasts. The nominees were The Cantina Cast, The Force Book Podcast, My Own Private Alderaan, Star Wars in Character, The Star Wars Report, and The Star Wars Talk Show. And the winner of this award was, and I will totally steal their thunder so they don't have to talk in third person, The Star Wars Report!
Yay!
No Sith!
Thanks.
That's my victory noise. Wow, thank you. Thank you to everyone who voted for us. That's
Yeah, we're all excited.
I feel like I definitely feel like a rookie, but we're working our way into the halls of fame of other radio shows, and it's such an honor. I'm stumbling over my words because it's so exciting to have people recognize us for all of our hard work and as the Bothan Report, and then of course recognizing us once again for the Star Wars Report, which is. Got launched as a result of the Bothan Report, and it's just a new incarnation, and we've grown bigger and better, and it's really nice to see people vote for us and appreciate our efforts here, so that's super exciting. All right, I'll shut up now.
I really liked what RFRN said in that, you know, we're just here having fun. We might strive to do a really good show so that you guys aren't annoyed by terrible audio quality or anything, to share our love of Star Wars with all of you people. But it's all about the fun. And Brian says that you need to be crying and all choked up now. So start crying.
See, I forgot that the Bothan Report won this award last year. I mean, I joined the Bothan Report there at the end of the lifespan. And, yeah. And I don't know, that just totally slipped my mind. I was like, what? Whoa. I mean, this is very surreal.
Yeah. Thank you once again. And let's introduce the big one. Bring the begun. The Lifetime Achievement Award is next. Nathan, if you will take it away.
All right. The Lifetime Achievement Award is the brainchild of a community member and former Star Wars and Beyond host named Robbie Chastain. When presenting the awards in 2006 on his podcast, he secretly gathered opinions from various community members without letting me know what he was doing. And when the award show was finally released, a special segment at the end announced a heretofore non-existent award being given. The community had honored me with the Lifetime Achievement Award at the time. In the years since, I've felt compelled to continue that tradition on behalf of FanWorks and the community. So each year, with input from the community, I've made it a point of inducting one new fan audio creator into the Lifetime Achievement Award Pantheon for Star Wars FanWorks. Since then, the group of inductees, which is a pretty nice group, has added five other members to its ranks. Rich Siegfried, Denny Pepin, Jeff Roney, Joe Harrison, and Arnie Carvalho. This year, the individual whose contributions to the Star Wars fan audio genre have merited induction into the Lifetime Achievement Award roster is, well, your friend and mine, folks, Solo Sounds' Austin Blankenship.
Congratulations. Let's hear his response.
We always try to keep at least one part of the award show a surprise until right up until the time that we actually start recording the thing every year. And we look back and, you know, you're a big part of EU Cantina, of getting the EU cast off the ground. Of course, the EU cast spawned We Talk Clones, you know, EU cast, I guess, in 2007, We Talk Clones in 2008. Those two together, plus you really pushing hard towards the podcasting realm, got Solo Sound launched. And just in very quick succession, Solo Sound wound up with the EU Review and the Bothan Report. And then those have kind of spun off into almost a next generation even beyond that. So you're kind of like the grandpappy of multiple generations now of podcasts through Solo Sound. And there is one award that pops up every year that we don't do voting on. It's sort of a community discussion thing. But I wound up making the final call once all is said and done, then kind of run it by the community again to make sure everybody agrees with the idea. And I am calling to get your reaction and to let you know that this year you are the inductee as the 2012 Star Wars Fan Audio Lifetime Achievement Award recipient.
Wow.
Congratulations. And what do you think? What do you have to say for your experiences there?
Well, that's tremendous, Nathan. Thank you very much. I mean, that's a amazing honor. I've been doing this for going on 5 years now, so it definitely doesn't seem like a lifetime. I hope I have a lot more that I can contribute to the Star Wars fan audio community, but yeah, it's just, I'm kind of shocked right now that I was able to get this award this year.
Well, you know, I mean, we kind of, you know, the community sits back and talks about it. And we always look for someone who has not only produced things, but sort of inspired others and really taken that step to not just kind of stick with the one niche, so to speak, but to also try to branch out. I mean, you look at Solo Sound, we're talking Cantina commentaries, got the audio dramas going in there, kind of starting up a community within a community. And it just kind of seemed like, you know, sort of the no-brainer, I guess, this time around, that as we wrap up the awards, that's you've been kind of one of those movers and shakers, maybe not always getting his due every time around, but certainly one of the movers and shakers that really kind of has kept this thing going in this particular generation. So I just want to pass it along to you, get your thoughts, and again, kind of pass along the congratulations of the community here.
Yeah, well, trying to move forward and expand was definitely something that we wanted to do with Solo Sound. I mean, we started with EU Cast, like you said, and then slowly we had We Talk Clones, which really wouldn't have been able to come about without the Clone Wars TV show. And from that, we kind of took some people who had worked on EU Cast and just moved them over there. And really, now that I think about it, that's how most of our podcasts got started for Solo Sound. Most of our people had worked for EU Cast briefly or guest hosted or something in that effect, and they moved on to do their own shows for us. So it definitely did kind of expand from EU Cast and grow. And like you said, we had the Cantina commentaries. We did some very short, I don't know if we could call them audio dramas, but something along that line that we were able to put out. And, you know, we didn't do a lot with EU Cast this past year, but we did have We Talk Clones going. We had the EU Review, which of course just ended, but that was an excellent 2-year run for that show. That was something I was very proud to have on Solo Sound, by the way.
Thank you. Now, the question that I know has been asked, that I've been asked, is do we know when anyone of the Solo Sound folks are going to be putting out any more of those Cantina commentaries? Apparently those have a very passionate fan base, but maybe they're not the most vocal ones out there, because it's not a show, of course, to write into, you know, week to week, month to month. Any thoughts on when we might see some more Cantina commentaries sometime?
You know, we have two films left that we haven't done. We have episode 3 and 6 that we have to record for. And actually, just 2 days ago, I was putting out seeing if anybody wanted to come and record with me. And we weren't able to get it going this past weekend. But we are looking to record those last two movies. And after we do that, who knows, we might move on and do some commentaries for the old Clone Wars show or something along that line.
Anything but Ewoks. Anything but Ewoks, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, on behalf of the community, on behalf of FanWorks, congratulations. It's great to have you among the Lifetime Achievement Award winners, and we look forward to what's coming next from Solo Sound.
Thank you so much. Real quick, I wanted to say, though, I couldn't have done any of Solo Sound without all of the talented people who've worked with me and helped me out, from Andrew Loopy to you've helped us with the e-review. We've had Tom Panuski, Stephen Rice, William Devereaux, Mark Herleman, all sorts of people who have helped us on our podcast. So this award is definitely as much for them as it should be for me.
Congratulations to Austin Blankenship, my introduction to podcasting, actually, where I got started with my brief run on the EUcast. So yeah, it's a huge congratulations, and it is a shame. I hear you, Nathan. I miss those Cantina commentaries, and it's sad about EUcast not producing as regularly. But it's super exciting. That's Solo Sound is not going anywhere. As a matter of fact, Roku Depot just started. I did it, Mark. I did it. Roku Depot just started a podcast for him. Tashi Station just got started. They've got 2 episodes out. That's on Solo Sound now, and a show with a lot of promise. So. Congratulations once again to you, Austin.
Yes, congratulations.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I can say if it weren't for Austin, the Star Wars Report wouldn't exist. It's funny. We all affect each other in very profound ways here in the Star Wars fan audio community. So yeah, I can definitely say that. Just listening to these awards is it gets me excited to plow on, keep producing Star Wars Report content for you guys. And I'll say once again, Nathan, thank you so much for honoring us with the opportunity to host the awards this year. And I hope they come back. I know they will probably they will evolve as the I guess industry or as the community evolves and times are changing. But I do think that Star Wars fan audio is not going anywhere. It's only going to grow as we keep plowing on forward in this community.
Absolutely. Can I hear an amen?
Amen, brother. Amen. Wow. Whew. Nathan, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I was glad to be here. And again, congratulations to all the winners out there, y'all included, to use a Southernism there.
Sure thing. Yeah, y'all come back now. You hear? Yeah, no.
I'll see you on our next episode, Nathan.
Yeah, yeah. Continued care, luck with Star Wars Beyond the Films. I'll keep be a loyal listener, and you never know. Maybe that'll be an opportunity to come up next year for next year's award. Thanks again for coming on, Nathan.
Anytime.
All right. Talk to you later. Whew, wow. I'm excited. So cool. It's such an amazing community. I can't say it enough. It's so much fun to be a part of the fan audio community. And it has changed. Podcasting as a medium has changed so much. There was the revolution of the iPod, which was after Star Wars FanWorks even came about, and that wasn't just it. After the iPod revolution, iTunes became a popular way to get podcasts, and then all these other MP3 players started coming up, and this all affected the Star Wars fan community. As any old Joe with a microphone and an idea. And a passion for Star Wars can create an awesome Star Wars podcast, and so it's really a really cool phenomenon. And I'm very glad that I'm here doing that. I really enjoy talking to you guys every week about the franchise we love so much and all the great discussions that come because of it. And really, I think the next big thing is smartphones are becoming a big deal, where I think there will be yet another. Audience of people who never even thought about podcasting or online radio shows who will discover them as things like Stitcher Radio become popular and other means of listening to podcasts.
Matt just pointed out we're live on Ustream right now, and Ustream's giving us a little bit of problems. And of course, they have their pre-roll ads, which can be annoying. But Matt just pointed out, if you're listening to them with certain apps, they don't have the ads, or the ads are shorter.
Yeah, well, and the fact that we're sitting here talking live on video to our audience who've tuned into this show, thank you guys so much, by the way.
Well, I'm hiding from the video, but Riley's being brave now.
Sure, that's true. But just the fact that we're sitting here talking to you guys live is amazing to me. Something that when I started podcasting two and a half years ago, I wouldn't have thought was possible doing a live show like this. And now we're doing all of these awesome things with Middle Earth Network Radio as our shows air. And while I'm thinking about it, be sure to, for you, we're broadcasting on Ustream this week, but for our podcast listeners, hey, if you ever feel the urge, tune into Middle Earth Network Radio. They've got some awesome new content. I've been putting up some stuff there in the radio rotation through, I'm kind of a, I guess if I could give myself a fancy title, an associate producer of some kind over there, basically means that I can put some cool music on. So head over there, you find the Star Wars music playing, and Star Wars Beyond the Films and the Star Wars Report air on the radio station every Monday at 1 o'clock and 8 o'clock Eastern, respectively. So that's a cool tool, and I always forget. I've been forgetting to let the podcast listeners know, and you already know. But I do encourage you guys to head over to the radio station; it's awesome.
Yep, they're actually revamping currently, which is why we're not live on there. They're moving all of their site stuff over to their own dedicated server, which is really good news. I know some of you guys were complaining about a virus warning last week, and that was because other sites that were
warning.
Yeah, other sites that were being hosted by that server got infected, so the whole server's IP address is messed up. But anyway, so it's really nice that we'll have our own dedicated server now, and it means that we can deal with any issues that come up.
Fun techie stuff. Yeah, this is going to be a long show, guys, but it's going to be awesome. Because we've got some amazing stuff to talk about. This week, more Star Wars news, time travel. Oh my goodness.
Is that the cue the Back to the Future music?
Yeah, although we have the rumors about the live action series, but and of course more some Q&A that Dave Filoni did on Facebook, and more interviews with George Lucas talking about Red Tails. The Oregon Jedi got sentenced to jail.
Mark.
No.
Are please
you,
don't.
You're speaking to us from a cell, aren't you, Mark? It's you. It really... we'll be talking about some of the latest Clone Wars stuff, but let's start off with the latest news from EU Cantina. James Luceno had a recent Facebook chat, specifically an interesting excerpt that I wanted to highlight to kick off our news for this week's episode. Luceno said, quote, "I was referencing the Mortis trilogy at several points. More likely to emerge, more is likely to emerge regarding those characters."
He's speaking of
Darth Plagueis.
Yes.
So will we see a return to Mortis in the Clone Wars? Perhaps. But even more than Mortis, the Dawn of the Jedi may tie into Mortis as well. Interesting.
That is true. They have what's called the Vo'yor, and it looks like the exact same pyramid ship that is Mortis. And there are, I believe, 8 of them that are small and one giant one that is much bigger. So when I first saw that, that immediately had my brain going, huh, are any of these possibly Mortis itself, or was Mortis based off of these? The resemblance is way too uncanny to be anything but coincidence.
Yeah, another interesting quote from, was this Dave Filoni or?
Yes, this is Dave Filoni's Facebook check that he had the other day. Yeah. But he mentioned that, he talked about Tusken Raiders showing up on the Clone Wars. And I was interested because in that same Luceno Facebook chat, Luceno said, quote, "My son and I were just talking about the Tuskens, ... I can't offer anything definitive, but I believe that Sidious's fingerprints are all over Shmi's abduction." Mm-hmm. And you guys will remember that from episode 2, of course.
And discuss. Would you like to see flashbacks like Clone Wars animated style that would tell the story of Shmi's abduction?
Open floor. I don't know, but I do think it's interesting because all this Mortis and Plagueis and Attack of the Clones stuff kind of all coming up by the different people that are involved, it's very interesting to see Star Wars being so tied in with the Clone Wars, the books, the movies. It's a level of involvement that I'm not really sure I've seen before. I mean, everybody knows that Dave Filoni is an Expanded Universe fan of some of that stuff. Well, he knows some of the histories and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But to hear the authors and the directors and the creators talking specifically about episodes and movie
coincidence?
References.
Coincidence? I think not.
You know, I think it would be great. Only in the aspect of, if they do it with Shmi, then there's an opening to do it with Maul. There's an opening to do it with Qui-Gon, with Obi-Wan as his apprentice. Their potentials become off the charts for me if they do it with Shmi. I would love to see it just for that alone. If they decide to start doing flashbacks in that regard, I mean, I know a lot of people hated the flashback episodes, but that was more like the entire episode was a flashback. I would like to see just a scene here or there, kind of like what we saw with Asajj Ventress with her new backstory. You know, something like that, where it's just like little flashback here and a little flashback there and how it ties into the present story. I would love to see something like that.
They're not beyond flashbacks, though, and they're not beyond bringing some of those characters, like Maul coming in at the end of the season. We'll be talking about that more later in the show. And also, Shmi appeared in last season. And not just me, but Shmi.
Shmi!
Never smiled at a crocodile.
Oh, no, you've totally picked that up from Nathan now, haven't you? You're going to sing on every episode.
Maybe, I might.
But now, with her, though, was that even really her?
Yeah,
I mean, that's
true.
What I love about how they play with these things. You know, and up until the Darth Maul, Wrath of Darth Maul book came out, I was honestly expecting them to do something like that with Maul in the Clone Wars. So, you know, now that the book's come out, we've kind of locked certain direction in. But I do like how when she shows up in the Clone Wars, it's like, well, is it her or is it the Force? Is it a projection used by the sun? I mean, there was a lot of questions going on
there. Yeah, that wasn't ever really clearly answered. But I guess my main point is they did get Pernilla August, the original actress of Shmi, to play the part. So if they're willing to go there and willing to get Liam Neeson to return as Qui-Gon, I think that's a good sign for something like this. After the Mortis trilogy, I think they would revisit something like that. I could definitely see that being a potential thing. It's almost, although it would be kind of outrageous, but not as outrageous as time travel in the Star Wars franchise. In a new article
that's
from
truly outrageous. That's gem style outrageous.
In a new article with Ain't It Coin News. My tongue is fabulous. In a new article with Ain't It Cool News, the headline reads, "An intriguing potential Star Wars underworld plot point! !!!
Enter the Vader. No!
Merrick here. I'll read this article because it's literally like two paragraphs, and I think this merits some careful analysis. Because something like time travel in the live-action series is, indeed, it's outrageous. It's unthinkable. Merrick here.
It's just plain Star Trek.
This is true. To be extremely clear, this information comes from an untested source. Okay, stop. I told Bethany this afternoon, we need to start,
We need to have an
just start posting articles on StarWarsReport.com with an unnamed anonymous source confirms to us that
no, it needs
Lucasfilm is pursuing Johnny Depp as the lead role as a smuggler in the live action series. And go.
He's playing Captain Jack Sparrow.
Oh, no. Oh, goodness.
All right. I got one sentence in, and I had to start making fun of it. Okay, I will seriously read this whole article. I will not laugh. All right, so from an untested source who did prove some reasonable context for how he came across this tidbit that I'm about to share. Okay, I believe you. Oh, sorry. Sarcastic remark. I didn't get even through two sentences. All right, here's the real test. I can do it now. I frequently found that the best way to establish credible/reliable sourcing is to throw their initial contributions into the fray and see what happens. I will not say anything. I will not say anything.
Sink or swim, kids! Sink or swim!
So with this disclaimer in mind, here we go. Both fingers crossed. Daniel contacted us with the following newslet about... We'll not make a comment. The long in development Star Wars live action series, presumably he's referring to the one that we recently learned would be called Star Wars Underworld.
That show that stars a beautiful vampire.
Wrong show, Bethany. Daniel tells us that the series' first episodes will involve a group of bandits acquiring the capability of time travel and using.
What?
See, that's where it got interesting. I thought, huh, that's weird. And using it to travel back in time to stop Darth Vader from, quote, ever existing. This is certainly keeping with past indications that we've heard about the show, that it would involve the darker side of the Star Wars universe with criminal factions and empire building, etc. While time travel is relatively new to the film and television canon of the Star Wars universe, it is a factor that has at least been acknowledged or discussed in the franchise's, and I quote, extended universe. Details.
Extended? Here.
As such, yeah. it's expanded. It's expanded.
It's expanded.
As Tracy from Club Jade said, it's expanded,
not extended. Just like pet peeve with Jedi.
It's not Jedi. Jedi. The plural of Jedi
is Jedi.
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 It's not to be confused with extends, people.
Expand.
As such, the potential inclusion of the show may not be as remarkable as one might initially believe. What do you think? Are we ready for time travel in the Star Wars mythos, or might its presence be an irresistible for temptation to organically revise Star Wars history even further? Let me reread that last sentence, because actually I think he has some interesting point there. Is it an irresistible temptation for George Lucas to organically revise Star Wars history even further? Merrick.
What?
From...
Is that just like an intelligent way of saying, is this George Lucas retconning again?
Yeah, it's a more with a few more $10 words and a little bit.
I mean, organically, that just sounds like a really fancy schmancy way of saying retcon. George does it all the time. Mm-hmm.
Well,
this is not new.
I love this article because this article isn't that outrageous, and it comes from an untested and therefore, in my opinion, unreliable source. Mm-hmm. But I love the.
I mean, you can't have
the internet explodes.
You can't have a reliable source without it proving itself to be reliable. So, yeah.
This is true.
Play the little video. I just want to hear some explosions.
I'll have to pull it up. So we'll continue discussion while I pull it up. But
SourceFed is an interesting YouTube channel that does reporting on news that pretty much people of our generation would be interested. Anything from politics to geekiness, anything like that. So SourceFed is pretty good. I've watched a couple of their channels, and they're quite funny and humorous and do really hilarious op-eds on things. But they're a good example of how the internet reacted to this article. Do you have them?
I think I do, although I'm going to have to. I hope it's in the right place, but here we'll take a listen. It's actually about 2 minutes, but I wasn't going to play the whole thing, Bethany, but then I think it's worth... talking about the discussion, because Mark, you always like to talk about how you like to live in the moment, and you kind of enjoy the fan reactions. And I think
this is true.
This 2 minute clip is pretty representative of mainstream geek reaction to the idea of time travel in Star Wars. Something that I don't necessarily think is the best idea, but I'm not sure I would go as far to say this. Let's take a listen.
Star Wars Underworld is set between the events that take place between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope.
This new Star Wars adaptation will supposedly more closely resemble The Godfather, with the Empire building up its power throughout the galaxy.
The series will also feature a whole bunch of crime bosses who control drugs and prostitution. So, Boardwalk Empire meets The Sopranos meets space.
And last but not least, a spoiler has just been revealed. So, plug your ears if you haven't already chopped them off. Spoiler in 3, 2.
One of the first episodes will involve a group of bandits who travel back in time to stop Darth Vader from ever existing.
There it is. So that means that if you do the math, this TV space opera could effectively alter the movie franchise.
This is the worst idea ever. I mean, George Lucas hasn't done anything good, and I mean anything good, since the original 3. I mean A New Hope,
Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. He injected CGI into the originals as if it made it more realistic. He replaced his aliens that couldn't speak English with aliens that could speak English but kind of spoke in somewhat racist accents.
George Lucas, who sucks now, will be writing and producing the first season and then handing it off from there. Personally, I'm kind of curious to see if there's going to be enough people around him to make sure that this television show isn't the worst thing ever.
It'll be the worst thing ever.
It'll probably be the worst thing ever.
It'll be the worst thing ever.
Probably. So what do you guys think? Do you guys think the Star Wars franchise is going to have new life breathed into it by being told in a timeless, dark, and complex way?
Or do you think George Lucas is going to George Lucas it up?
Leave a comment down below. Click.
So I had pulled up this video, and I thought, huh, this looks interesting. And I said,
yeah, boy, tell
him. And Riley was like, They are going to totally bash George Lucas. No, you're being a little far fetched here. I mean,
I'm just bitter.
They don't. I mean, you're being a little overreactionary to their reactions. I don't think they'll be that bad. And
we haven't even gotten two or three seconds into the video.
And Riley said, "Just watch and see. I'm just betting you." And so we started watching, and I was like, "Oh yeah, they are." And the thing is, it's almost like they don't seem mad when you're watching it. They're just kind of having fun with it.
Yeah, they're just banter.
They're just bantering back and forth. But they're the destroying your childhood thing again. And it's interesting because this is almost like an ingrained reaction. They're reacting exactly how the internet kind of wants them to react in a way.
Well, I could predict exactly what they would say. It's kind of funny, but I do think that their response bears, because you know what, if you're asking my honest opinion, time travel in the live action series, not such a good idea. A couple of bandits going back in time doesn't really ring very Star Wars to me. And to kill Darth Vader, this is like a bad.
Yeah. I think people on the internet
go back and kill Hitler style movie.
I think people on the internet took this rumor a little bit too seriously.
Of course, I mean we read the whole article on Ain't It Cool, and so they just reported that entirely as fact, and they even like extrapolated things that weren't in the article. So evidently,
like
George Lucas,
who said George Lucas is writing the whole first season
or directing it. He's not. That has not been confirmed at all. And so it's kind of I don't know.
So it's like unsourced fed.
Exactly. It's source fed without the force. It's kind of fed, or in my opinion, just fed up. Anyway, with that out loud. But I wanted to play that clip because it's interesting always to see that kind of reaction. And Mark, what did you think of the idea of a group of bandits traveling back in time? Does this sound credible to you at all?
It sounds Star Trek. To me, if they're going to do this, and if George really is okay with it, then why did George force Troy Denning to retcon flow walking? Because that was pretty much a forced version of what they're talking about now.
Yeah.
And in the middle of the Darkness series, they said, no, you can't do that. And suddenly it became, well, yeah, you travel back in time. And yeah, Anakin is now kissed Tahiri, but that never really happened. The Force and the past, they massage themselves out and everything happened like it was supposed to happen in the first place. And that made no sense whatsoever. The only way it made sense was to say to yourself, George Lucas obviously did not want time travel. Felt it was too much Star Trek and said, no, keep that out of my Star Wars, and they had to fix it. But now if they're going to go and do this, it's like, whoa, really? Because we've seen time travel in the past.
We have.
It's mostly hyperspace jumps and
Let's talk about it, Mark, because this is not, you know, it's not, time travel isn't a complete stranger to the Star Wars mythos. And as a matter of fact, in 5,000 years before the Battle of Yavin, in the book Cross Current, during the Great Hyperspace War, Jedi Master Raylan Dur, yes, I'm reading off Wikipedia. You can stop now. Stop your emails. I didn't know this off of the top of my head, but I looked it up. The Jedi Master and his Padawan tracked down the Sith Dreadnought, the Harbinger, and captained by Dur's Jedi apprentice. The Jedi Master infiltrated the Harbinger, sabotaged the ship's hyperdrive, and then dueled another guy and fled the Harbinger aboard an escape pod, and then the escape pod got into hyperspace, and then they all were happy. No. Then it caused the Harbinger and Dur's escape to travel through time to the year 41.5 after the Battle of Yavin. That's called the guy who knows nothing about EU just realizing, I really should have let Mark tell that story. And then this guy fought that guy, and then
I'm cutting.
A 5,000-year-old dreadnought, bringing with it a full force of Sith and one lone Jedi, has inadvertently catapulted eons from the past into the present.
You know, but that wasn't the first case that we've had of that. I mean, there have been other situations where people have, quote unquote, been reported as time travelers. I've seen on Wikipedia, you know, it's some of the older content that I don't have in some of the role playing games and stuff like that, where these kind of stories were fleshed out before with people traveling. But it was always them traveling into the future. And it was either like a hyperspace jump or they were in stasis. Vector. The girl that was the main protagonist in that ends up going in stasis, and you know, she was there all the way up until Cade's time. You know, she was there with Zane Carrick. She was there for Darth Vader. She was there for Luke Skywalker, and then finally Cade Skywalker, all because of a stasis pod. You know, so I mean, there are ways that they do it going forward. They've just never gone backwards.
Yeah, that was
and that's why I say it's a Star Trek thing, because Star Trek is always in the TV show. Had huge plot points about going back in time. Some of my favorite episodes, Deep Space Nine, the Trouble or Trials and Tribulations, where they go back to the Trouble with Tribbles episode and they tie the two together. I mean, yeah, it can work, but it definitely has a feel of like it's not Star Wars. That's not Star Wars technology. Next thing you're going to see is we're beaming people from their ships to the planet. I mean, I think that's kind of a reaction you're getting here.
I think
from a lot of people like, that's not right.
I do not think the source is credible. I think there may be something slightly related to that, but I don't think it's executed in the way that the Ain't It Cool made it sound. And it's just interesting, going back to that, the response on the people on SourceFed, it's interesting because the kind of automatic reactions I find kind of amusing at this point. It's because, you know, in psychology, there's a term, automatic thoughts. When you're a kid, someone bullied you, stole your lunchbox. So when your coworker 30 years later eats your sandwich and doesn't realize it, you're actually likely to more automatically connect that with your past experience of being bullied. Now that actually can be connected to the Star Wars community. That's not just abstract psychology. It's interesting because there's an automatic reaction within certain segments of the fan community that anything George Lucas did after Return of the Jedi, or in some cases after Empire, was horrible. He did nothing good, and they say that. And of course, George Lucas, as we all know, has done nothing good since the original trilogy. Fact.
Yeah, Red Tails was just awful. I didn't enjoy it at all.
Yeah, yeah, Red Tails was awesome. Actually, we haven't had a chance. Oh, we never actually, Bethany, got a chance to review Red Tails. I'm not really sure.
This is true.
It was an awesome movie. Everybody go see it now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's interesting.
See, I'm starting to panic. I don't have enough open weekends to go see it before episode one comes out. I'm like, episode one, Red Tails. I'm like, poor Red Tails. I have a feeling I'm not going to get to see you in the theater.
Yeah. Well, it's still a good movie. You can Netflix it when it comes on DVD as well.
This is true.
Great movie, though. Great movie. But we won't get distracted by
you
that.
You know, this one rumor, the thing that I find most discounting about it, almost, is what it says about trying to stop Darth Vader from ever existing. And like SourceFed said, you know, they're going to retcon it to where Darth Vader never existed or something like that. This is George Lucas maintains that the Star Wars saga, the six films, are the story of Anakin Skywalker, his fall and redemption. I seriously doubt that George Lucas would retcon the main point of his story. Anyway.
Well, didn't we just watch Obi-Wan Kenobi die and that turned out fine?
Yeah, exactly.
But that was
I'm pretty sure George isn't going to write an episode in his TV show that's going to basically, you know, put a wormhole right in the middle of everything and just suck it all in. Oh, it's gone. I just decided I'm going to today Luke wakes up and he's a chicken.
So, yeah, I think there's this kind of automatic assumption that George Lucas is going to do something absolutely insane and crazy because he's done all these insane, crazy things with the prequels and with that. But really, in reality, choosing which character shot first or adding some CGI, even adding the silly CGI rocks to the scene in A New Hope where R2-D2 is hiding, is not that radical of a change. It doesn't, like, alter the whole movie. I think the biggest thing that he's changed recently would be the no, and that was a huge controversy. Even the minor ones, we fans, we love these movies. We've watched them so long. We care so deeply about them that when Sebastian Shaw is gone and Hayden Christensen is there in Return of the Jedi DVD, that's bad. But when Darth Vader yells no, that's even worse. And I think it's a testament to how much we care about these films. And I think it's something I've missed as a fan, in that I've been doing some... Mark, I've been sitting on my couch doing some internal reflection.
Ooh, and I'm deep thoughts with Riley.
Yes, yes. And I came to this kind of realization where I always get this knee-jerk reaction to people who are having a knee-jerk reaction. And it's where I get all upset if somebody says that they hate George Lucas or that they hated this change or that change. And I'll get too upset about it, frankly. I realized I care. I was like, well, why is this? So I tried to do something that everybody should be doing that I realized I hadn't been doing. And that is put myself in the place of people who are reacting to these changes so much, like SourceFed. And I can kind of see it. If you grew up, you know, from the time that you were 5 to the time that you were 15, for 10 years watching these original movies over and over and over again, and you kind of have them burned into your brain as a fond memory, I can kind of sympathize with somebody saying that it kind of alters the memories of their childhood, seeing the film different now. I was popping in, and so as a result, I kind of determined myself, you know, I really would like to get back into these films more. I'd really like to rewatch and really get into them, because I don't think I've seen any of the Star Wars movies over 15 times. That's an interesting confession.
Yeah, I was letting the silence hang there before I said, what? Only?
Yeah.
There's awesome movies like Indiana Jones you haven't seen, so I guess that kind of makes sense.
Well, it's not really through intention, but I realize it's just I've gotten to a place where I think it's more important to be involved with the material and going back to the roots of what I like about Star Wars so much and kind of rediscovering passion for Star Wars instead of spending so much time in the community side of things. And that's actually really helped
me. You're on that side of the circle, are you?
Yeah. Well, it's really helped me to take a step back, take a deep breath and not get quite as worked up about some of these things as I was a few episodes ago. As we'll all remember that. So yeah, anyway, that's my two cents. What are your thoughts, Mark?
I think I'm having fun stealing your Darth Vader candy.
Yeah, you got Darth Vader candy for Valentine's Day. Here it is.
Yum. Nice. Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, life's about circles. I've said it before, where sometimes, you know, you get a little introspective. You know, I was just recently tweeting about how I'm watching Tron Legacy, and I'm watching it a lot. You know, and I'm that way with Star Wars. You know, I'll put it in and I'll watch, you know, a month of just nonstop the saga. And then I'll switch to Battlestar Galactica, then some Firefly, and then Smallville, you know, Supernatural. Then I'm back to Star Wars again. I mean, I go through these kicks, you know. Sometimes I want to watch the films over and over again. Sometimes I just rather read my books and watch other things. But you know, like you said, it is a part of putting yourself into that perspective. For me, I'm one of the older fans, so I see a lot of people that they come in and they love everything, and they have yet to even notice any of the conflicts of the older stuff. You know, I mean, and that came in to how to word this. Fans like me and Nathan and some that have been around for a long time on the old official site and stuff would get disheartened at times when certain retcons came that would make books almost feel worthless. Like, well, new fans aren't going to want to read this book because half the book doesn't make sense anymore because it's been retconned out of existence. And so there was like a concern there that like as Star Wars grew, George's changes were going to make the older books irrelevant to the point where they had so, you know, little meaning that people wouldn't even bother getting them because they're not Star Wars anymore. George has changed it so much. So there was like a whole contingent of fans that kind of, I think that's where you see a lot of that George Lucas, you know, hurt my childhood kind of stuff, is from that group of where they want to share what they grew up with and it's constantly changing. And so they really can't, without explaining this whole weird convoluted system of continuity and how it works and how George in a sense is God and how technically if George really did want to make Luke Skywalker a chicken tomorrow, he could. And that would, everyone would have to accept it continuity wise. I mean, everybody's got their own personal levels of continuity and it drives people nuts that we do because it basically means Star Wars is what you bring to it. But the bottom line is it's ran like a business and George is the end all be all. And so that whole convoluted thing you know, when you try to share your passion, you got this weird convoluted mess that the maker created. I could see how that could be frustrating. I mean, myself trying to explain it to people, it gets frustrating. People hearing me explain it, I'm sure I'm frustrated at you. But yeah, yeah. I didn't create this mess. George did. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is an odd sequence. It's interesting, Mark, because we do have commentary, and I think, Mark, we do have differing opinions on George Lucas, but we have a different relationship with George Lucas. As odd as that is, I just realized that sounded way creepier than I wanted it to. But it is. It's a different thing. As a longtime EU fan, Star Wars is something that means that has a different meaning for you than it does for me, Mark. And that's not a bad thing. I think that's one reason why we enjoy coming on this show and really lending our different perspectives to the news and discussions that the community's been having. And yeah, you're right. He could just turn Luke Skywalker into a chicken. Yeah,
it would be just terrible. It's like
the
video. How, you know, it's kind of like they're playing to that style of fan. You know, the OT fans, the ones that really they enjoyed the OT over the prequels, and not so much the haters. Okay, I mean, I didn't get as much hate out of that. I really thought it was more kind of like putting your nose to your fingers and laughing at the jokes you're making. And that's what I think you got here is they're playing to that group that likes teasing the prequels. They love Star Wars, but they don't want to admit it because secretly they're holding on to the original trilogy as their favorite.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that works all the way around. I mean, like I said, I love the post-New Jedi Order, the New Jedi Order and Beyond era. And so I really get a kick out of discussing that with a lot of fans. But that doesn't mean that I want to limit myself to that. There's the KOTOR side of me that I like to dig and get in and chat with those fans. But then, you know, there are other fans that are more like me that are more embracing of everything, and you'll find that there are certain spots I really just don't like. You know, Nathan Butler does not like Dark Times. I mean, I like it. There were some spots that it was rough, but Nathan really just does not like it. And I find it interesting, though, because every time I hear somebody that doesn't like something or does like something, I will look at that thing in a new light, whether it be good or bad. And when I am looking at it bad, I try to remind myself that, hey, this is just a point of view and that my points of view change daily. That, yeah, I might be irritated about something today, like peaceful Mandalorians, but I know that sooner or later things will work out and that we can find a way to keep Karen Travis's Mandalorians around. And it happened. I mean, they're not gone, even though they could have been. So, you know, I mean, that's the thing. Just breathe.
Yeah.
These will pass.
Let me ask you this, Mark. Do you think how has your look or take on Star Wars changed much since starting out as the UCast and evolving all the way to Bothan Report and now the Star Wars Report? I'm just curious, from your perspective, have you changed just kind of hanging out with people as crazy as Bethany and me?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I took that whole Defender of the EU thing there for a while. I was a little crazy with it, like, you know, like, EU is awesome and everything should be the EU. But, you know, you have to kind of realize where your place is. And as much as I don't want to admit that the EU is a small part of fandom, because to me it's everything. But, you know, it's one of those things, like, I don't get as concerned about whether or not other people will like the things that I like. Because that was my big thing. I like to share. If I like something a lot, I want to share. I want you to like what I like because I like it. And it's obviously cool because I'm liking it. This is cool. I like things that are cool. So that's my thought process on it. So if I think it's cool, I want to share it with you so you can think it's cool. Or at least if you don't think it's cool, I can explain to you why I think it's cool. Maybe I might convince you because I like cool stuff. And that's I want to be surrounded by cool stuff. You should see my bedroom. Well, most of you have. Yeah. But it's just one of those things
where, on Facebook.
Yeah, I try not to let the negativity get to me. But at the same time, there is, like we said in past episodes, a certain level of fun in the negativity. I love following Club Jade because of what we refer to as her snarkiness. The snarkiness in this case, I find it that kind of humor. You know, a snark would be a good way of putting it. Some people can make snark a little more hateful than others, but, you know, I think that at the end of the day, we got to remember that the comments we're seeing on these chat forums, these social medias and stuff are just people. And people live in the moment, and people say things without quite thinking things through. And especially in the internet world, where all you have to do is hit an enter button, and if you don't remember to go back and delete your comment, it's there for as long as, you know, you want to have your foot in your mouth or your point down someone else's throat. You know? So the point there is, don't get too angry when you're having your discussions. Try to remember, you know, someone's seeing it different. Do the agree to disagree. I see people that go, I refuse to agree to disagree. You know, if you refuse to agree to disagree, you might want to reanalyze things because you're probably being a jerk about something. Because bottom line is, if you can't agree on something, agree to disagree.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That's where I found myself.
You have one thing in common!
That's where I found myself 2 weeks ago, Mark, was where I was having a hard time agreeing to disagree. And that's where I really had to, you know, step back and look at, whoa, wait a second. You know, there are people on the other side of these keyboards or YouTubes or what have you. And I think that it's the blessing and the curse of the internet. There's the anonymity where people can really just be so cruel and so mean, and then but also we can network with and make friends in a way that we couldn't 5 years ago. It's astounding. Although yeah. We've never met Mark, you know, I feel there's a connection that we have. That's a kind of I don't even really know what you would call it, because when someone says friend, they mean like on Facebook, and it's definitely way beyond that. But it's this connection that you can make online that is unlike anything else.
A kinship, if you would.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because like when my dad started reading the books, and I think that this is a problem with what most people get labeled as an EU hater. No, and I'm saying this in the aspect of the people that are getting labeled it who really don't feel like they're an EU hater. Okay, but they get labeled it, or I'm sorry, not EU hater, a George Lucas hater.
Oh, okay,
more
gotcha.
The EU lovers. Okay, my dad starts reading the books, and he starts coming up to me with questions about why these things don't line up. And, you know, I try to explain to him, well, this change happened, that change happened. But, you know, as he continues, he's caught up with me. Actually, he's ahead of me right now. He's read books that I haven't even read. And so, you know, as he's reading these things, he's just like, wow, this really doesn't line up. And the more he discovered that, there's that sense of sadness, because George Lucas brought you Star Wars, but George Lucas did not exactly bring you all the books.
No. Nope.
And when you grab the books, you do want that feeling. And my dad, like I said on other shows, my dad has a Star Trek book collection to rival my Star Wars one. Okay. When he was reading those books, they had no continuity, and that was the way Roddenberry wanted it. Okay, and he hated that about those books, but yet he still read them, you know? And so it's like funny to watch him who dealt with that and was okay with that and accepting with that kind of get, in a sense, emotionally stricken by the fact that Lucas didn't care about the characters enough to really get involved or enough to say, no, flat out, don't mess with them. And then he started to, and that was when my dad was like, well, why doesn't he just, you know, come down with the hammer and say, this is how it is, or that's how it was. And it's like, well, technically for a certain period of time, he did, you know, and it's just one of those things. It's like when you explain all the different things and you watch from a community standpoint with forums and things like that, people using arguments of George Lucas said this on this date at such and such. And then someone else will find another magazine article where George basically totally contradicted everything he said. And, oh, well, this one happened and oh, well, it was closer to today, so that means mine wins. And they take that canon debate, because that's how Lucas works. So whatever Lucas said today is gold. So it's one of those things, like if this rumor was said by George Lucas, that would be canon and time travel, boom, it exists. Darksaber, yeah. You know, we've had black lightsabers in the EU forever, but they didn't really exist. Any George Lucas vision only type person, movie only friend would tell you, well, they don't exist because George Lucas haven't given it to you. Well, all of a sudden, boom, they're on the Clone Wars. George Lucas gave it to him. EU fans are like, yes, George gave us what we've had all this time. It's justified. It's been accepted. It's holy. It's got the holy approval of George himself, you know? So, I mean, there's like a give and take there. You know, EU fans will be very excited when George takes something, and then at the same time, like with the Mandalorians, are like, George, why did you have to mess with them, man? They were great as they were. So it's like, it's fun to watch the different reactions. I don't know. I get a kick out of it, like you said.
Well, it's funny, Mark, and that's such a false premise where it really George Lucas does pull from the EU, or at least this is where it gets kind of fuzzy, because it's not George Lucas arbitrarily sitting in his office saying, this goes, that one, nope, yep, no. People see him looking at storyboards or maquettes in the behind the scenes, and that he checks off that one, and the model maker who spent 30 hours making the model of Mustafar said, oh. But he's not. I don't think he's sitting there doing that with each of the books. The book and the publishing arms are different, but he does have some say. But it's kind of more of a what catches his eye, I think, and what just kind of seems interesting to him.
Yeah.
So with his current project, the Clone Wars, I kind of get the sense that Dave Filoni, the team at the Clone Wars, and George Lucas, they pick out, you know, Quinlan Voss or Aayla Secura in the films, or the Darksaber, as you mentioned. There are all these different EU elements, whether it's Mandalore and Ryloth, although it didn't rotate, all these interesting planets. I still want to see Boss Pity from Battlefront and actually see that in the Clone Wars.
I tell you this, Riley. Oprah failed. Okay? She didn't do her homework. If she really had done the research, she would have hit George with the deep questions. George, let's talk about Star Wars and the expanded universe. What hand do you really have in it? I mean, let's, like, focus down on some of that stuff. Let's get to the nitty-gritty here that deals with, you know, more than just pop culture. She missed the ball. There was a whole article there that I would have loved to have read. You know, I would really like to know the levels of involvement that George has.
Yeah, because it's kind of in the dark. It's kind of in the dark, isn't it, as to how much he is involved. We just occasionally see a darksaber, or occasionally see just a glimpse as to when and what and where these different story ideas and elements come from. It's kind of...
Well, I remember the Gindy series, like George almost getting awards, and oh, George Lucas is Star Wars, George Lucas is Star Wars, George is doing all this stuff with Star Wars. And now it's like, well, that was the Gindy series. George is doing this series. George is all over this series. See, and yeah, it's like, I just wait for this one to end and the next one to start and go, well, George really only gave us a couple ideas.
Yeah, you know, he didn't even direct any of the episodes.
But
didn't,
really, we were just exaggerating.
He didn't write any of the scripts or directing the episodes. He really wasn't that involved or, you know, yeah. Although I think that's...
I mean, so you get a, like a level of skepticism after a while. You're like, what's really going on? That's where Oprah dropped the ball. I want to know. Fandom wants to know.
Who? I don't know who he is.
I don't know if the chat heard you. I couldn't hear you.
Was it? There you go.
Oh, okay.
Get out of the bathroom. My chair. Yeah.
What are you? Get her out of the Sarlacc pit, man.
Sorry. Go ahead, Bethany.
Well, I guess what I was pointing out is that Oprah is doing an interview with George Lucas for a mainstream audience, not for the fan community who loves all of the...
Oh, I know. I was just poking fun at Oprah.
Yeah.
Although I would have wanted to hear that question. I agree with you, Mark. That would have been...
Yeah, it would have been cool, but... Also,
it reminds me of that Times thing, you know? It's like, people that aren't dealing with fandom don't realize how sometimes their comments can really stir up fandom.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
like that New York Times article where George Lucas essentially... to some people's perception, played the victim card, saying, well, why would I make any more if everybody hates them? And I think that kind of, everybody's like, what? Because everyone really just assumed that George doesn't even know any of that. Like it's, he's just above it all. And it kind of proves, I mean, he's aware of some of the hatred. And, you know, that some of that does have to, I mean, he's human. He's just a regular guy. He makes mistakes like regular guys. But he's also a genius and highly irregular in other areas and in a unique way. So it's always interesting to study him. One of these days, it's like with Steve Jobs. When he passed away, he was a polarizing figure in the tech community, but everyone does very fondly remember him. And I have no doubt that God forbid if it ever should happen, but when George Lucas passes on, becomes one with the Force, there are not going to be people saying, well, good riddance. Thanks for ruining the original trilogy by doing those special editions. Nobody's going to be saying that. That's not going to be the focus of, regardless of how much you may or may not agree with the man. I think people do have a level of respect that sometimes just isn't there. It disappears with anonymity.
Okay, Riley, I'm going to blow your mind right here.
Okay.
Here's a deep thought, so Mark. I'll admit it. I have in the past said that Star Wars could be, like Deep Space Nine, better off once George has passed away. I have had that thought at times.
Well, and
there was a time where I said, you know, I really believe that Star Trek got better once Roddenberry had passed away and the creative direction was put in other hands. And I have felt in the past that,
like,
you know, I've come around, but in the past there was a time where I really felt George didn't care enough about Star Wars. that was at the time, that was where I was at. And so I was like, I really believed at that time that, you know, hey, if George were to kick the bucket today, maybe someone else were to get involved. Maybe Dave Filoni could do what he really wants to do. You know, the thought has crossed my mind, and I have spoken those words on forums before. So, yes, I got labeled with a George Lucas hater tag there for like a whole week.
Get off my show.
You're fired.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things. It's like, thoughts come through my mind. I mean, I ponder things. Yeah, but that doesn't mean I'm going to write it and be like, you know, hey, let's start a cabal and let's like find ways to, oh, I don't know, give George some cookies that, oh, I don't know, but they make him forget all about Star Wars.
Hey now. Okay, calm down. No, and you don't need to feel bad about that, Mark. I mean, the thought is, it's always interesting to contemplate, because who's going to sit there and say that once the original creators of Battlestar, the classic series is always way better? There are very few people that I know that would defend that, because Ronald D. Moore is amazing, and his writing is amazing. And, you know, he was involved with Deep Space Nine, and then involved later with doing the scripts for the reimagined Battlestar Galactica series. Brilliant guy. That, you know, many of our listeners probably don't know who he is, but I mean, just a fantastic writer, and really could get into the characters' brains in the new Battlestar series. And I do think that I can kind of see what you're saying, Mark. Although, just kind of thinking out loud, it doesn't mean that I think that the prequels were horrible, or that it would have been better off if somebody else had done the prequels. But it has crossed my mind. I mean, Star Wars in the next 10 years is going to evolve sharply. It's going to change. The franchise will change, and we'll be right there with it, covering it on the Star Wars Report, episode 1000. No, who knows?
Oh goodness, you totally overwhelmed me.
but no, I think the franchise is going to change. It's definitely.
Well, and it's continually morphed over the years for better and for worse.
Yeah, we're not sitting around excited about the next Shadows of the Empire release, but that doesn't mean that Shadows of the Empire was terrible, I guess is what I'm saying. I'm getting really abstract now as my brain begins to empty of any cogent thought. Whew, wow. So, this episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by ToyHut.com. ToyHut is your source for deep thoughts and contemplation. Now, ToyHut.com is your source, the best place to get Star Wars action figures and memorabilia. Head over to ToyHut.com and find all kinds of awesome Star Wars action figures and toys. And one that Bethany will feature this week is
the Star Wars Sideshow Rebel Commando Infantryman on Endor. The Sideshow collection is really very cool. I'm sure most of you collectors know all about that, but I don't know. It's the one thing that tempts me into collecting Star Wars figures, the Sideshow collection. I've always had a weak spot for those. That one is $36, so a little on the pricey end for some folks. But another one I like here is actually a Power of the Force series, a Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually less than $4.
Not one, so than two. Good. $3.79. I might just have to grab that one myself. That'd be awesome. So, yes, once again, ToyHut.com. That's ToyHut with two T's, as in the ho, 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 ToyHut.com. Ho, ho. Wow. And we thank them for continuing to support the Star Wars Report podcast. Those guys are indeed awesome.
Moving on to our next story. This is kind of a sad time in our story. Clone Wars actor Ian Abercrombie passed away a week ago, actually. He played Palpatine, or Sidious, in the Clone Wars, and he's also well known as playing in Seinfeld, Star Trek Voyager, Babylon 5, Army of Darkness, Wizards of Waverly Place, among others.
Army of Darkness! Yes!
Yeah, I was sad to hear that he passed away. He's such a great actor, and I'm sure he's inspired many voice actors in his time as well to continue on to do great work like he has. And many of the cast of the Clone Wars put out notes and said that they were sorry to hear that he left, and how kind and generous he was as a person and how talented he was. So I just wanted to feature that. It's always sad when talent leaves in any form or fashion.
He will be missed.
You mentioned that, and that's it's obvious. I mean, it is sad. But at the same time, I can be happy for them in the aspect of they got to work on Star Wars. I mean, if I think about my own death, That would like be the only way I would want to go out. Like, I did something like Star Wars, you know. To be able to say that in your life, that's got to be, you know, a special feeling inside.
Yes. It's really amazing to me how many people work on Star Wars projects, and particularly the Clone Wars, who really love Star Wars. They were Star Wars fans way before they actually started working on Star Wars.
Yeah.
Well, even us fans, I mean, look at Katie Sackhoff. We're all excited, and she had like four lines in the show. And they're like, oh, she gets Boba Fett treatment. Everybody loves her.
Yeah, well, she's Katie Sackhoff, for crying out loud. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, this show has run longer than we usually go. But that's okay. I've definitely had a blast so far. Although I was thinking I'll just ask you guys out loud. Do you guys want to cover the rest of the show notes or just jump to the Clone Wars and head out? Or
How long have we been running so far?
Just over an hour and a half.
Ooh, okay. Let's cut out quickly and we can cover some of the rest of the stuff next week.
Let's do it. Do you guys want to talk to Clone Wars?
Clone Wars, Mark? Take or leave.
Yep.
And go. All right. Clone Wars. Wow. We haven't talked about it in weeks. As a matter of fact, I don't think we ever came back. We were kind of doing this every week after it would air, and the next week we'd be talking about it on the Star Wars Report in a brief segment. And we haven't done that since the new year came in. We've had all these awesome news stories to be covering, but I've really wanted to jump back into the Clone Wars, guys. We've really gone into some in-depth discussion. Frankly, my brain is turning a lot. It's turning quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
But the reason it's
fitting, too, with this episode.
Yeah. Because
we've been talking about people possibly dying in the past, and what did we get this last three episodes?
Yeah, the most recent.
Have we got up to three yet?
I think it's the third one's tomorrow, I think, as I recall.
Okay, yeah.
There have definitely been at least two, and of course, I guess spoiler alert, if you're not watching the Clone Wars, first of all, shame on you. You should be. And here we go. The all warfare is based on deception. Deception.
Was that a cross between deception and assumption?
Deception and assumption and consumption. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Three ways. All warfare is based on deception was the most recent Clone Wars fortune cookie.
Who started calling that a fortune cookie?
I don't know.
It was a good idea. Kudos to you, whoever
you
are.
I think it was from the crew. They call it that at the crew, and it kind of trickled down to the fan community. So, but we've seen Obi-Wan Kenobi go into a pretty good disguise as a bounty hunter, and I really enjoy it, actually, as he infiltrated the Coruscant prison, an awesome, really cool location, by the way. So we've seen... let's talk about it straight away. The idea he shaved his head and beard.
I think that was the most shocking.
I know it was. Like, I was just like, that's so weird.
I mean, Cad Bane.
It's like, oh my gosh, it's Ewan McGregor.
it was. There's this weird moment where I was like, that looks more like Obi-Wan than ever before when he's bald and beardless. Because the model really does have a resemblance to that Episode One Obi-Wan. But yeah, it's interesting. They very much went into the kind of cloak and dagger tactics.
You mean the Episode 4 Obi-Wan?
No, the Episode 1. Yeah, the shaved Obi-Wan kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Ewan McGregor, the young Ewan.
I'm not sure, Obi-Wan.
Not sure.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. Exactly. So I don't know. These most recent couple episodes have been far better than the previous couple episodes before the season, mid-season break. So
thing I will say in the slightly negative side, and it's not negative on the show, it's more negative to the Jedi because of the show. Boy, Yoda and Mace are really dropping the ball with Anakin. I mean, just watching that episode when he's standing over Obi-Wan's grave as they're putting his body into the temple, it's like, if you can't see the anger and hate written all over his face, it boggles my mind how... We don't have an episode yet where they pull him aside and say, Anakin, what's going on?
Anakin, buddy,
we can sense you're radiating anger like nobody's business. Fear, sorrow, anything.
it was definitely a dark side moment, and Anakin's had these throughout the Clone Wars, and it's definitely just kind of a return. Of course, later he's figured it out now, but he was pretty upset. Wasn't happy. Mm-hmm.
These are very interesting episodes to me. I can't wait to see what the end of the episode has in store for us to watch.
Yeah, I mean, Ahsoka's character, you watch her too. She's got the same look of anger on her face. It's like, Why isn't anybody calling him on this? He's training another kid, and she's doing exactly what he's doing. I don't know. I like it, but every time these kind of situations rise, it makes me shake my head at the Jedi Council. It's like, well, you guys really dropped the ball. Here's another example of you just dropping the ball. Yoda, it's right in your face. You're like 4 feet from him. Yeah, he's not even hiding his feelings in the Force. What is wrong with you?
Oh, the Jedi Council can sometimes be a little bit naive. It's definitely nothing really new, but definitely a great, great set of Clone Wars episodes that we've had, and really cool to see the bounty hunters back. We've got Bossk, we've got Boba Fett, we've got Rako Hadeen.
And back in black with Bane, Boba, and Bossk. Yes, I love my alliteration.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Soon Embo.
And Embo, woohoo! Yeah, the preview for tomorrow's episode, which is probably today's episode when you're listening to this, or yesterday's episode. It all depends. Morning, afternoon, evening, please delete as appropriate whenever you're listening to us. But yeah, that looked like an awesome episode we've got. The Box. There's tomorrow night as the bounty hunters compete in a cage fight.
That looks interesting.
Fight, 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 fight. Boba Fett. I want one of these days.
Five hunters enter, only one exits.
Exactly. One of these days, I would like to see a young Boba Fett attacking a fellow bounty hunter, and then be like, "It's Boba. I am Boba Fett. Boba Fett. Boba Fett." That would be funny. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to the Clone Wars bang up season that they've had so far, and I think it's going to only get better as we look towards the return of Darth Maul. Tonight, we are exactly 1 week and 3 hours from the midnight premiere of The Phantom Menace 3D. Couldn't be more excited. We may not be able to make the midnight showing, but we'll definitely be there opening weekend, and we'll be there to talk with you about it, Mark, and we'll all experience it and see what that newfangled 3D thing is like. I've only ever seen one 3D film, and that was, of course, Tron. And I think the 3D medium has definitely evolved in the year or two since Tron came out, so we'll see what it looks like. We'll be talking about the technology behind it, how it holds up, the audience that's there, what the audience reaction is. Coming back to Red Tails, Mark, when we watched there was a standing ovation and applause at the end credits. It was awesome.
Yes.
I wish we had more time to go more in depth, but yeah, again, listeners who haven't seen Red Tails, definitely go do it. Did pretty well at the box office, even though all the studios said nobody would go see a movie with an all-black cast. We're not racist, we're just, it's just good marketing sense. You're wrong. It's had a very good opening weekend and has continued to do very well with a very strong grassroots movie-going effort, and it's amazing. And you know what? George Lucas has, if you don't like the prequels, if you don't like the Clone Wars, if you don't like the Gendy series, if you don't like Howard the Duck, how can you possibly say anything against Red Tails? It's an awesome movie. There we go.
Hey, but you know, I never understood that all black cast. There's some white guys. I saw previews. There was a couple white guys there.
Yeah, that's true. It's not. I should say the heroes, which the courage has no color.
But you're right, though, Riley. That's how the marketing and the publicity is marketing it. They're saying that Hollywood didn't want it because how can you market that? I mean, yeah. it just gets back to that. I don't know, man.
And they're just...
Hollywood's messed up.
They're just wrong. And it's applicable to World War II veterans. It's applicable to today's movie-going audience. I'll say it once again as the tagline of the film, courage has no color. And it's so true. So I hope see more great films from Lucasfilm, Star Wars or otherwise, as they keep coming out. That's going to do it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. Extra long episode, and once again, big thank you to Nathan Butler for letting us host the award show. Sorry we didn't pull a Ricky Gervais. We decided not to just slam every single one of the the winners. But
that wouldn't have been nice.
No, we'd never do that. But yeah, we thank him, and congratulations once again to all the winners. And here's to another really successful year for Star Wars Fan Audio in 2012. If you want to email us, our email address is starwarsreport@gmail.com. Hey, if you want to send us a link on Twitter, it's @StarWarsReport, or facebook.com/StarWarsReport. Exploding, booming. Bethany, you've been posting these hilarious and engaging, interesting photos, updates about the show, all kinds of crazy, awesome content on our Facebook page each week. That's going to do it for this episode. Don't forget, the Bothans. They're dying, I'm telling you, all the time. and they're bringing us this podcast. Woohoo! All right, that's a wrap. Awesome time. Wow. That was fun.
Yeah, fun.
That was probably some of the most in-depth conversation I think we've had yet, Mark. That was fun.
It was deep.